for me, it was about, you know, I wanted to control my outcome. And so I wanted to control myself. And it actually led me towards the opposite of what I wanted always. So it's like so ironic that we cling on and we think that we know how to control. But I found in my energy, it seems to always bring about the opposite.
Welcome to The Art of Being Authentic, a podcast dedicated to supporting you in becoming the best version of you using human design, the gene keys, metaphysics, spirituality, and empowered positivity. We live in a world of competing expectations, desires, and demands, those of our true self and those of everyone else, creating an endless tug of war until we learn to let go. That's my story anyway, and that's why I'm here, so you don't have to do it alone. So kick back, relax, and hang out with me. I'm really glad you're here. Hi, welcome back, everyone. Today we have another breakthrough session, and today we are speaking with Anna from New York, New York, New York. Anna, I love just to hear a little bit about you before we dive into the situation that you want to work on. Just a little bit of background on you, how you met your human design is probably a really great start. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for having me, Stacey. I'm so excited to chat with you. And like you said, I'm from New York, raised by Polish immigrants. I went to the Performing Arts High School in Manhattan, studied voice and piano. So I have a kind of like an exciting history, and I'm, you know, hoping that an exciting future. But how I found my human design was, I think a lot of people had an awakening moment, you know, during the Panini. All of us were thinking, what is my life? What are my values? What is my legacy? And I never thought I would be a career coach. I thought maybe I would be a copywriter or a freelance marketer, something related to my corporate job. But then this whole world opened up to me. And at the same time, I found my human design. And immediately I was like, oh my God, I'm a projector. And it resonated, but I was angry. I was like, ew, no, I protest. I am not going to wait for the invitation. I'm going to continue generating and manifesting and continue breaking my own heart. So that was my journey in that was the beginning part of it. Anyway, it wasn't like I landed in heaven and immediately followed my design. I was rebellious. And even though I knew deep down it was so true.
Wow, that is really powerful. You've been working with your design for how long now?
So I don't know the exact timing, but I definitely found out about human design about midway through 2020. And then I would say I probably started being like, there's some truth to this midway 2021. And then in 2022, midway, I was probably like, oh, snap, I really gotta buckle down on this. And then last summer, so, you know, 9 months ago is when I discovered my motivation of innocence, which really goes against a lot of the desire-driven world, which is my transferred motivation. And that has offered the biggest shift for me so far, learning about that. So it's been a step-by-step journey of just accepting and playing with my design.
I love it. So Anna is a 4-1 splenic projector. And what I like to start with these, Anna, before we get into the situation you want to work on, is what does it feel like? What does invitation feel like? Because I think this is something that's so challenging for a lot of projectors, because it creates so much confusion. And like you were saying, this resentment and anger at what I'm just supposed to sit around and wait to be anointed. And that's not what's intended by it. So can you talk about what does invitation feel like in your body, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's not an explicit invitation always, correct?
Correct. For me, it feels like butterflies, and it feels like little tiny mirrors being held up to who I am. Yeah. And they always come for me in multiple forms. So for example, my most recent interesting invitation, I've had multiple people tell me that I look like I should be dancing flamenco and that I should be living in Sevilla, Spain. And the fact that it came up 3 times in a row from 3 people, In the span of a week, I am absolutely looking into learning how to dance the flamenco. So it's like the universe sending me these little signals that there's something about my energy that I need to explore further. And yeah, it's like this, like butterflies. It's like, and it's so delightful. It's like, oh my gosh, you really see me that way? And then you hear it again and you're like, oh my gosh, maybe people do see me that way. And then the third time it's like, okay, maybe there is something here to explore. So that's what it sort of has. So it is really much about recognition, I believe. As opposed to an invitation, it's more of like, I see something in you. And everyone always says, I don't know what it is, but I have to tell you this. Strangers and people that are like literally one person was someone I met in ballet that I've never seen before. She was like, you should be dancing the flamenco. And then my husband, who obviously knows me deeply, also said something like that. So it's a sprinkle of different people recognizing something.
Oh, that is so powerful. I love how you just, a lot of times we hear the concept of invitation and recognition, but you're really flipping it and saying, it's really this resonance around the recognition. It's like someone says something or observes a quality in you that is deeply resonant in your body because you're responding viscerally, right? When you talk about butterflies or mirrors, you're responding to what someone acknowledges in you viscerally, right? That there's a truth that has just been spoken.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And what I've realized about these invitations is it's always something that is so deeply me that I don't have to try to be good at that. So I feel like as projectors, we're always trying to be like, see me, choose me. You know, this is my talent. Please notice it. But what I've realized, my most important, most life-changing invitations have been like, basically, this has been you this whole time. And I'm allowing you to see it now, finally. So that's what it feels like to me.
Wow, so much truth. You are speaking so much really, really deep, raw truth. Oh, I love it. I love it. So tell me what does, so you're also splenic, but that's your authority. So tell me how you sense your splenic hits. Like, what does that feel like? And if you can even go so far, I know for me, when I really started to live into my design, and the first thing we have to figure out is what's our strategy and authority, and where in our lives that we've led do we have examples of when we followed it and when we didn't, really to test how real is this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And I could easily, when I laid out a timeline for my life, I could very, very easily look at, get the okay, this, are you seeing all of the fireworks going off?
Fireworks.
Behind my head. I have no idea what I was doing with my hands to cause that, but whatever. Just for the listeners, because this will be hard to edit out, we are recording on riverside.fm, and I was using hand gestures and a bunch of fireworks just exploded behind my head.
So all over the screen.
I always think these are the times when our higher selves, our spirits are talking to us, right? Our guides are saying, yeah, you go, girl. But anyway, I remembered, it was one of the really pivotal moments that really made me want to go deeper and deeper and explore human design for myself in terms of how it could help guide me and my decision-making when I made just a timeline, loose timeline of my life. And I looked back at where were the decisions that I had made that led to really positive outcomes, right? And others that led to absolute failure. And we can debate about, you know, that it was all meant to be, all of that. But there's still the point of if I were to go back to when I made those decisions, I could pinpoint exactly what I felt in my body, like the conflict that I was feeling and the decisions that I made that wound up leading to disastrous results versus the peace and calm that I felt. I'm a sacral manifesting generator. The calmness that I felt and the clarity and uncertainty that I felt that led me to the really positive outcomes. So I'm wondering if you have examples like that, that you feel comfortable sharing, and also just how the splenic hit feels to you. Like, how do you know? Cause that's a really hard one. It comes only once and then it vanishes. So talk about that.
So I'm remembering all the times I was referred to as stubborn as a child, as a teenager, And I think I was actually in tune with my spleen because it's not so much that I feel her say yes. I would say my yes is more driven by my excitement for something or my innocent delight in an idea, but she definitely lets me know when it's a no. And so I've always felt like I was a little bit immovable. But then I have to be honest, I lost that. I definitely lost that. And like a lot of women, I did a lot of people pleasing and overriding my own intuition, emotions, however we want to call it. And so as I've been exploring now and being more conscious of the no's, for me, it comes more in personal relationships and invitations as opposed to like decisions for what I'm creating. It's more of like if someone would be like, hey, do you want to go to Vegas? Immediately, it's a no. And I have learned to not prolong the process of diddly-daddlying and pretending like I might go and to just cut to the chase and be like, it's a no for me. And that has been really hard. It's been really hard I don't know if it's a woman thing. It's just like, it's so hard to say no because, because we feel like we have to rationalize it or why or... But yeah, the spleen, she just says no. And I do that. I've also done that in professional opportunities where I keep getting offered opportunities now, even though I'm not in the corporate space anymore. And it's still hard for me to say no, thank you immediately. And I'll entertain conversations, which waste my time and waste everybody's time. So that's my experience. It's like, she's like a very sassy, low voiced no, no. And maybe she has a cigarette in her mouth and she's just like... No. And that's it.
Oh my God. You are hysterical. I love that. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Well, it's a no for us. No.
That is exquisite. And what I love about that is you're basically helping to illustrate for others what it feels like and looks like to build that trust muscle with your authority. And it's not overnight because as you've said, we have been conditioned all our lives to make nice, to fit in. And part of the reason why it's particularly hard for you to say no and honor that no in the moment is I'm going a little bit to your design without having to bring up the chart. You have undefined ego and undefined solar plexus. Yeah. And so I have the same construct and those two are really... Man, they are power partners in terms of making you say yes when you don't want to because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings or you don't have really strong boundaries because you still want to impress someone or you want to make a difference or you want to be, again, it's even without the projectorness, still want to be noticed for what you're good at, et cetera. And and it happens to all of us. So those of us who have undefined or open ego or heart and undefined or open solar plexus, which is the nervous system and the emotions, that's a double whammy, man. You really have to be on alert to realize that it's our conditioning and that false self that's wanting to talk us into things just because we want to make a good impression and we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And that wastes everyone's time, just like you're saying. So funny.
And it's such a fear of that confrontation too that comes from the open solar plexus. I mean, even with friends, you know, it's like, and it's not logical at all. In fact, when I have done a quick no, my friends are like, cool, move on. Meanwhile, I'm sweating. Like you said, my nervous system is on alert. It's not a big deal.
Oh, I love it. Oh my gosh. But isn't it great once we know our human design, we can pinpoint, it's this thing. It's this thing again. And I think that's where it's so wonderful to make our minds our friends to help us navigate. It's like the way to get into the body is through the mind and our human design. So I would love to talk about what brought you here today. So you wanted to do a breakthrough session. So what is it that you... just want to get to sort of the next level of clarity about? What is it that you're thinking about that's troubling you? Where are you stuck?
So I, in my journey, have started as like a very, I'm going to call it a vanilla corporate kind of career coach. Okay. You know what I'm talking about. And, you know, I love that stuff. I love helping women navigate the political sphere. I love building personal brands. I love, you know, flexing my marketing muscles. But as I explored my design and noticed what I'm getting recognized for as a projector, played with my innocent motivation, I found myself going deeper and deeper into more spiritual things. And so right now I've recently, you know, sort of had a refresh of who I am, what kind of coaching I do. And it's crazy. I love it so much, but there's still fears. There's still fears around, you know, being spiritual in a corporate world or being seen as professional when I'm talking about someone's design. So I guess why I really gravitated towards you and the invitation to be here today is to get your perspective on, like, it's so funny. Like, what is like that sweet spot? Like, what is, like, for example, I've struggled a little bit with my Gene Key 17 being my life's work. I don't know. It's like, I resonate with my radiance 38, resonate with that. But then when I look at like omniscience, farsightedness, I'm like, what the heck are we talking about here? So that's sort of where I'm in. I would love to have your wisdom and perspective on what that could mean for me moving forward.
I love that. My own take is, first of all, you have all the answers in you. And so what I will do is I've spent some time with your chart, your human design and your gene keys, from my perspective in the things that I see that stand out to me that I think are special in you. And again, I'm using my own intuition to get at that. And my goal is to just maybe ask some questions or to raise some awareness around different parts of your chart to have you respond to, because I think that's what's going to jar you to what's correct for you. I'm happy to render, I do have an opinion right now, but again, it's only an opinion, which is funny because that's the shadow of your life's work.
Yes.
And just to understand for everyone who's listening, the shadow, and we will get to this in more detail, but the shadow of opinion is really there to narrow the world instead of expanding it. And it's to start to actually create walls around everything else. It's an attempt to control one's world and assert or superimpose one's view of the world onto the world, right? And the people around them is the shadow of that. Because we are all, as human beings, we are living in the unknown. We every minute of every day, it seems like we know it because we have our routines, and all of those routines are ways to defend against the unknown. What I think all of the shadow energies are there, what they're all doing is trying, it's when we are resisting the call to be more than our humanness. And that's what's scary. So I'm going to bring up your chart. So when we're talking, it's really helpful. I'm still getting better at this, to be mindful of not just saying gate 17, but gate 17 of the ajna connecting to the throat, right? So just to help people understand the connection and the movement through the human design chart, because the thing about human design, and this is what people really, as you start to get familiar with your own chart and the dynamics of it, it's all energy, and it's how the energy is moving through your chart all the time, or through your life and through your body. Mm-hmm. And the more that you know that everything is affecting everything, and there's not just one isolated piece that's making a difference, it's how this one piece is actually working with other things in your chart to either support you through your gifts or to make things harder when you're in shadow.
So interesting that you mentioned, you know, how important it is to look at where the gate is, because you just helped me realize that gate 17 in the ajna, my ajna is undefined. So it's so interesting that I'm sitting here kind of trying to define it and like get certainty around it. But where my other like bigger placements are in my root, which is defined, the 38, the 39. So that's so interesting that you brought that up, because now I'm like, yeah, the Ajna where it's and I'm here like, let's pin it down.
You know what? You just did the masterclass in 30 seconds. I mean, I realize for people listening who aren't as familiar with human design, but this is actually one of the big things that I wanted to bring to your attention was this, you're trying to pin something down that in your design is not meant to be pinned down.
Oh and my gosh.
You are somebody who is meant to, and I love the way Rania Rilke, the poet, would talk about, you are somebody who has to live in the questions, right? Your brilliance is about embracing and living and holding the questions instead of trying to force the answers. Allow the answers to come to you. And you've already discussed this about your innocence motivation, the delight, follow your delight and be fully present in it and trust that it's going to guide you step by step. And I think this is where we humans, again, we want the answers now. We want to know that the decisions we're making now are the right decisions, that they're going to lead to where we want to go. And the challenge is that's not the way the game is designed for us. We are spiritual beings in human flesh bodies. And at least this is now where I have come around to recognize and hold and believe. And we're here to, if we had all the answers and we knew that all of our decisions would lead to where we want to go, that would be the most boring game ever. Part of the fun is not knowing, right? And so, and at least we have some navigational tools through human design to help us make decisions that we feel like are going to be in the arena of the experience that we want to have, right? That's going to bring greater awareness or joy or what have you.
Interesting that like you sort of telepathically communicated that to me with that one sentence about knowing where it is, and like it like hit me. I was like, oh my god, it's in my undefined Ajna. All the others that I'm grounded in are like my root, which is defined, and I'm grounded in this. I'm delighted by this.
Oh my god, you're so cute. Okay, so you already know you're a 4-1 splenic projector. And what I've pointed out here is you have a small split, gate 57 off the spleen, and you have 5 undefined centers. And we already talked about the ones in the head and the Ajna, right, that are undefined. And we talked about the ego, which is the heart, and the solar plexus, which is the nervous system, which are also undefined. And then the sacral, which is undefined. And you don't seem to have a lot of issues with the sacral, though, which is always the one that's wanting productivity, et cetera. I mean, there might be a yearning there, but it feels like you're more about...
Stacey, not anymore. If you had met me just 5-10 years ago, the burnout, I at one point had PCOS.
What is that?
Which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's like a really big hormonal imbalance, really bad period pain, acne, hair falling out, hair growing on your face, like all these crazy things, extreme fatigue, mental health, suffering. It was so bad. And I have to say that was when I completely was burning out my sacral, and just I never knew when enough was enough, working so much, doing all these things, and also working out, doing high intensity workouts. I mean, and it's sad because I thought I was doing all the right things, but it actually made me sicker and less happy and not confident at all. That was like the darkest period of my life. So yeah, I absolutely have gone through, and I didn't know about human design then, but I just attribute it to me being like sensitive. Of course, there was a lot of shame of not being able to keep up with the rest of the world. But yeah, it's crazy now. I literally feel when my energy is out, and even though my brain can keep going, if I'm creating something, writing, creating content or stuff for my programs, the old me would keep going. But now I finally feel that switch, and I finally have the self-worth and the self-love to say, let's park this. We can come back to this tomorrow. But that was many, many years in the making, Stacey. Many, many years.
Wow. I'm so inspired. What a triumph. that you have worked your way out of that. And what a wonderful description and message for other projectors out there. This is a lot of the journey that's hard for them to make, because they suddenly realize, and again, the anger comes up with, I'm living in a generator world where all the props go to those who are doing everything, right? And the projectors who are really living in alignment, and I am surrounded by projectors. I love being surrounded by projectors who live in alignment. They are actually some of the most focused, energetic, productive people that I know. But they do it in the way that projectors do it best, when they're lit up, right? Like, you're lit up through your innocence motivation. Other projectors are going to have a different way of a different language for what lights them up. But when they realize they don't have to prove themselves, they just have to listen for that inner recognition. Either they're recognizing themselves for something that they want to do, or others are recognizing it in them, as you were talking about at the top of our conversation. And they're very efficient. My business partner is also a splenic projector. I talk about her a lot on this show. Mm-hmm. And I'm amazed, because what I've come to recognize in projectors who are living in alignment, and this is why the world, especially in the work environment, why I think human design can be so transformative for mm-hmm. workplaces, is when people understand how projectors operate, they realize that they just look different. They may not look like they're working, but they're working. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's always happening in their head, or it's happening in some yes. other way. It's not happening through physical action, right? Or demonstration mm-hmm. until the thing is due, right? And that's how my business partner works, right? She'll be working on a narrative, but she's doing it for weeks, just, you know, figuring it out in her head. And then when it comes time for me to hand something over to her, she whips something out in 48 hours, right? But she's still mm-hmm. working on it. The entire time, as I'm helping to, you know, help her understand the situation that we're describing through a narrative. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and does that bring up anything else for you that you want to share on, you know, you, detoxing from your sacral?
Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to what you mentioned about control a little bit earlier. You know, it really is about, for me, it was about, you know, I wanted to control my outcome. And so I wanted to control myself. And Stacey, this has even happened with me, like, physically. Like, I remember I was, like, always dieting and starving myself and counting the calories and just, like, doing all the things. And it, crazy enough, it actually led me towards the opposite of what I wanted always. So it's like so ironic that we cling on and we think that we know how to control, but I found in my energy, it seems to always bring about the opposite. And actually, when I do surrender, when I don't do all the things, when I trust in the right timing, everything turns out so much better. Now, if I bump into a hurdle when I'm working on something, even if it's sort of due or it's my own timeline, I will trust that it's not meant to happen right now. And then there's so many times where I will come back, circle back to something, and I'll be like, oh my God, thank God I didn't write it then. I didn't have this piece of information and now I do, or I didn't have this collaborator or whatever it is. And so it really is about, to me, it's been such a journey of surrendering and trusting and not controlling, which is really hard to do as a recovering perfectionist, workaholic, hyperachiever, controller type A craziness. So I love human design, because it's like, for me, I always think about like the creator and the universe, and it's like, I'm going to make you this way, but you're going to have to let go of all that to find what you want. And I'm just baffled and delighted by these things in our charts, where I recently met a man who has a very, you know, left oriented strategic analytical brain, but his body is wants to be in the flow. So he's not meant to be regimented in his diet or his workout routine. And I'm just like, God really has fun putting us together up there. And then we're out here just trying to figure it out.
Oh my God, you're such a delight. I so love you, the way that you see the world and the way that you put things out in the world. And you're so present. So we talked about the things that you're not. I always love to start with what you're not. And this isn't a reading. You know your human design. What I wanted to do is, from my perspective, point out some of the things that I think are creating problems for you, like that undefined ajna and yes. head connection, right? And again, it's just another perspective. It's why we're in each other's paths today. And it might just spark another answer or decision for you on your journey forward. So I'm going to focus on what you're not. And even though I'm talking about gate 61 and 63 in the head, both of these, to me, what I'm recognizing is there's this little bit of infighting that's going on between these qualities in you. Because 61 is all about it's part of the mystic channel. So it's all about that I just know, but I don't have control over when I know. I just get something channeled to me, right? And you've kind of intimated that that's a little bit how you're working with recognition sometimes is you feel things, you see things, you hear things. And the gate 63 is all about doubt and it's all about logic, right? And so logic, mm-hmm. if logic hates anything, it's something that cannot be proven, right? Gate 63 doubt, mm-hmm. the first thing it's going to want to do is deny the real knowing, right? That you cannot prove. So you're constantly under a little bit of this intellectual or mental assault to, again, be clear and certain about things when that's not how you're built. You're really built, again, to hold the questions. And so I wanted to first point that little bit out. And then I wanted to talk about how that those qualities of the head and the ajna, you know, not really being able to be certain about things, they're being exacerbated by these other gates, again, from these undefined centers, gate 51, which is all about initiating, right? It's all about taking the leap, yeah. moving something forward, right? And gate 51 is off of the heart or ego, right? Which is undefined in you. And then gate 36, which is all about the crisis. It's a forcing function to create mm-hmm. a crisis so that something can happen and I can feel something and I can experience something. And so you have all of these energies that are the not self in terms of the undefined portions of your chart that are, I would say, like agitating the defined gate energies that are in those centers. Do you see what I'm saying? And so for you, you just kind of want to be always on alert of, wait a second, is this agitation real? Or is it imagined, right? Why am I so impatient right now? Do I really need to have an answer right now? Or can I just sit here and hold the space, right? So I just want you to be loving to yourself and gentle with yourself and kind with yourself because you have these tensions in your chart that are never going away. And that's why I love human design when we know, I've already said it once, but when you know, like, for example, each one of us has these internal conflicts. And the more that we can understand the internal conflicts and the energies, the friction that is naturally in our design, it's there for a reason. It's there for us to grow, right? It's there to push us, to make us uncomfortable so that we become more with this human being that we came into the world to be, right? We came in one way and we're here to have life experiences and create those experiences in order to grow and become wiser, more aware, more fully human, if that's a way to say it. But anyway, I wonder if anything comes up with that before I go on. And if not, that's fine.
Extremely thought-provoking and interesting. I've never explored my chart in this way. And the relationship with the 61 and the 63, that's fascinating to me because I find that the clearer I get in terms of what I feel, the more the doubt creeps in. And it's like the bigger the confidence in the intuitive knowing download, the more that suddenly this doubt comes out of left field seemingly to question it. And that's what brought me here today to you today, because it's like, I feel it, but then the doubt, like, it seriously does swoop in, and I've never looked at my chart or thought of my energy in that way. So I thank you deeply for that insight because, yeah, it's been a recurrent pattern. It's been a recurrent tension. And once again, yeah, it's like, here you go. Figure it out now so you can grow. But you've described my experience perfectly there.
Well, so. And I think what's important is when we realize it's never going away, like this is like having blue eyes or brown hair, right? It's part of your design and you're meant to work with it instead of having it work against you or you work against it, right? So this is about you mastering these elements. It's you recognizing when there's friction and why it exists. And your gates 61 and 63 are working perfectly. Now you have the awareness to go, oh, I get that. And when that doubt creeps in, you get to just say, okay, doubt, have a seat over here for the moment, right? Because I'm going to play in this other thing that I've downloaded and I'm just going to see where that goes, but I'll get to you later. I mean, you just start to have literally voices in our heads, right? And characters yes. that we can start working with so that we are no longer, it's no longer the tail wagging the dog, right? This invisible tail wagging the dog. It's now we're in front of it. This is what I love about human design. It's so empowering, right? The other thing that I want to bring up in the same vein, it is your split. So, and I'm sure you're familiar with splits because you...
No, I'm not familiar at all.
Okay, so the way that the circuits work, so wherever we have a closed circuit, so for example, your throat and your G or the self are connected through gates 20 in the throat to gate 10. And that channel in our vernacular, we've been coming up with my business partner and I, archetypes for the channels, because I needed a more powerful way to talk about what we do have access to, which are our channels, right? Our channel energies are there for us 24/7, along with the energy centers that they're connecting and connected to, right? And so I wanted a more powerful way that I could quickly get the essence of what those centers, I'm sorry, what the channel energies are like. So we've been working on 36 archetypes to really elevate. I know, it's so empowering. So this channel that connects the throat and the G for you, gates 20 and 10, we call that the stoic. So this is your depth. And when you talked about the journey, I'm kind of skipping around right now, but why not? Because we're on a roll. When you talked about the journey that you've been on from sort of vanilla corporate coaching to something that's more spiritual, this is what you're being called to. This is exactly what's in your design. It is the stoic. And you are about the way that the stoic works is it's not about what anyone else is doing. It's about what I'm doing and how I do it that matters, right? I have my own standards and ways of showing up in the world that are about my integrity and the way that I need to be able to sleep at night. Like, that's what this is about. And it's not about copying anyone else. And it's really not about getting information from anyone else. It's about this sense of, I know what's correct and for me and the right way for me to show up in this moment, now, in every moment. And it's what drives you. And to me, this is where you have enormous depth. I think it's fueled by, again, that pulse of the mystic gate in the head, which it, again, you get these downloads, you just don't have control over them and you don't have constant access to them. But that's part of what I think feeds into this sense of personal behavior and honor and integrity. So that's one of your defined channels. And then the other one, and that's one of the defined circuits. The other defined circuit, and I'll pause in a moment because I want you to reflect on this. The other one is this circuit, which connects the spleen and the root. So these are two separate circuits. There's no continuous flow of energy. The thing that would close that energy is this gate 57 in the spleen. And so, and so what happens is, and let me go back for a second, because the channel that is connecting the spleen and the root, we call that the channel of, you're going to die, the perfectionist, which is exactly where you were with your sacral, but that's when your sacral you were conditioned to let that, you know, urge to be productive. Again, it was all that not self energy, that this is how people show up. So I have to be this way, that was driving you, but you do have this quality in you. And so to me, when you were asking earlier, you know, if I were to render an armchair sofa, you know, piece of, oh, here's what I think she should do, immediately. And again, this is just my opinion. This, do you take it with a grain of salt? It's like, wow, you could really be working with women who you mentioned you are, you love working with women. You wanted to work in a spiritual way. You're already there, right? This is in your design to show up that way. But how about working with women to find through this spiritual way, helping them to connect with their own spirituality, whatever that is, in order to beat the urge to play the perfectionist game that they can never win. And how many women are trapped in that game of perfectionism? They don't need the channel, you know, to be trapped in that. The channel, having that defined, and again, this is the gate 18 from the spleen to gate 58 in the root. You have this access to the gifts of this quality that you can be in service of those who are in search of it. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. As long as you don't get sucked into needing to be perfect yourself, right? Needing to do it a certain way, needing to show up a certain way. And the last thing that I will point out is the gate 57, which is the gate which will, you're called, it's what your quote unquote definition is called a simple split because it's just one gate that you need to close it. There's a ton of pressure to close it. Well, that gate 57 is fear of the future. So do you see how that fear of the future is kind of working with the undefined head and Ajna, you know, to say, let's nail this. Let's get this down. Let's make a decision. And then the other undefined parts of, you know, the ego and the solar plexus, the crisis, right? We talked about gate 36 in the solar plexus, creating a crisis. Let's force it. Let's force the conclusion. Let's, you know, all of that is happening. Yeah. And so your gate 57 is also, there's pressure there. So I just wanted you to know you're under this constant assault of pressure to not just go with the flow. Do you see what I'm saying? To actually force answers.
Yes.
And which is why you reached out. And your job is really to figure out, well, how do I live with this? How can this friction actually serve me? Mm-hmm. And the way to work with the gate 57 is one decision at a time. You know, you responded to our email and it felt right.
Yes.
You know, oh, I want to have this conversation. One decision at a time. And this conversation is going to give you information to help you to illuminate the next decisions. And it's not about the 10 decisions ahead of you, you know, which logic loves, but it's not going to serve you. Anyway, so I'll pause there for you to respond.
How do I even respond to that? That was, so thanks for explaining my life. I'm going to go now.
No.
No, that is exactly it. But actually what made me really emotional when you were talking is, you know, I think like you really summarized a big reason why I became a coach. It really was from my own struggle and that perfectionist quality. And I think if I look at every single, you know, every single one of my offers or whatever, at the end of the day, it is like drop the perfectionism, drop the conditioned way of achieving perfection. And it's very much like, what is your way? How do you define it? And it doesn't have to be a struggle. That's like my main message. So like even my whole coaching was born from my struggle in my career. And now I literally want to wake women up and be like, you don't have to be the workhorse. You don't have to do the non-promotable tasks that women are usually stuck with. You don't have to be the loudest person in the room. You can actually be a very successful introverted leader. And like, I don't know why that like hit me, that you striking that like the perfectionism, that's like really, it's really why I do it. You know what I mean? But ironically, it's still perfect because the state that I want her to get to is perfect, but it's not the perfect.
It's not the state. It's not the perfect, right? It's her perfect.
Mm-hmm. It's her perfect. Yes. And I always say I'm a career coach, but the one thing I care about most is your health and happiness.
It's beautiful.
And I always talk about the career as a tool to creating a life of health and happiness, not that's why a lot of the stuff I say, I'm like, no other career coach is going to say what I'm going to tell you, because at the end of the day, I'm a career coach that helps you reach that perfection of you and how you want to live and not be in a box or forced to burn yourself out the way I thought I was to be successful and then wasn't at all. So yeah, that really, really hit me.
I feel a lot of demand for something like this. So I feel like you're in the right space. You're at the right time in your life in what you're doing. And you use the word struggle, which I love, because as you know, with your own studies, this channel connecting the spleen and the root, gate 28 of the spleen and 38 of the root, in traditional human design terms, is called the channel of struggle. This language is another reason why we wanted to create archetypes, because I think this language, it was meant to be provocative. It was meant to be to kind of shatter people awake. But I feel like it does more, I think, in this day and age, which is whatever, 30 years later, to actually frighten people off and to frighten them away from even embracing their design. So we call that the channel of the warrior. And you've got gate 38 active. And the whole point of it is the warrior is here to figure out what's worth fighting for. And so I just wanted to point out, because you're very connected to this essence of the good fight, fighting the good fight, making life worthy, figuring out your purpose. And that's coming through in you. And it's what's driving you as well. And so it's very, very consistent with the path that you're on. And to me, it just feels like, you know, I haven't looked at any of your messaging or anything, but if you started to really play into her perfect, what's your perfect, right? What's your perfect, not the perfect. And if you haven't talked about your own stories, to really talk about those own stories, right? Like, here's what happened to me when I was trying to be someone else's perfect. My hair fell out. I was tired. I suffered PCOS. Like, all of these things happened, right? And that's when I was trying to be someone else's version of perfect. And honestly, if you could lean into super simple messaging that's just about her perfect, like, this feels very, very much like, it does feel very much like you're designed for this. I don't want to use a term so big and sounding not so free will, because you have total free will. But so I don't want to say destiny or that you're destined for this, but you have a design that is set up for this. Your life experience that got you to this place where you are right now, recognizing where your gifts are and where you want to take your coaching, perfect for this. So how fun to lean into that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you just said that you don't want to say it's destiny, you don't want to do, but I know that you are right spot on because of like how emotional I'm feeling. And you're absolutely right. Like, I remember in the beginning when I first started to promote myself as a coach, I would share my story, right? But it's so funny how quickly you move on and you think, oh, it's got to be more complicated. I have to create all these things. And those are great. I love archetypes especially, right? But it's interesting how we forget that like something like your story can be just as, if not more powerful than here's a pain point and here's this resolution. You know what I mean? So, and like, I absolutely have not shared my story in forever. And I can feel the disservice that's doing, not like just generally, it's a disservice to not share that story, all those stories. And what you said, trying to be someone else's perfect, it literally was. It's just insane how much effort I put into trying to be that perfect that wasn't even mine. It's so much of that.
Yeah. What a gift your life and your stories can provide to another. And I just want to point out how funny that, you know, this is your gate of doubt that comes in. It's like, we got to make this complicated. we got to really, you know, add all of these different layers. And it's like, I feel like your gift is so pure and simple. And I don't mean to say that's not to take away from its value, but it's the problem is so pervasive and yet so so simple. This whole, again, going back to the pressure to be someone else's perfect. And what woman has not lived with that at some point in her life? So that's universal in our life right now in our society. That's the simple part, right? The complex part is how you guide each individual to define their own version of it. That's the complex part, right? But the simple part is the universality of this particular message and challenge that you get to be the one speaking up. Like, that's your platform where you've lived it to the point where you lost almost everything, right? Especially your health. And the path to getting all that back was finding your own version of perfect. Because that's what you've done. That is exactly what you've done. And you've used these tools along the way, and human design came in to help you really understand your energetics so that you could start leaning into those and your own version of perfect. This is your own version of perfect. And now you get to use human design to help others find theirs. In the context of whatever part of their lives, they're struggling to be someone they're not. Right. Mm-hmm. So interesting.
So true. And it's interesting when you said you don't know how I market myself, but it's funny because I'm currently, for the past few years, I've been known as the career guardian angel. But prior to that, I had actually played with, this is going to sound very drastically different. My original brand name was Corporate Conqueror. Can you imagine? Talk about struggle warrior. I called myself the Corporate Conqueror, for real. And then it's so interesting how that eventually like softened up. And I found that coaching has allowed my more nurturing side to come out as opposed to the more warrior-esque that I had to be in the corporate world. And that's when the guardian angel aspect started coming out more so than the conqueror warrior.
Well, and that was your not self, right? Because that's what we're always seeking, that which we don't, which we're not. And so your defined gate 38 in the root is always reaching for that 28 to close that channel and become the warrior, right? And so that was your not self conditioning of, you know, the ego. We have to be more. We have to be what we're not. And that's what happens when we have undefined ego and undefined solar plexus, is we're so vulnerable into falling into those patterns and those traps to be what we're not, to pursue what we're not. And it's a waste of energy, especially for a projector, right? A huge, colossal waste of energy. So now we're going to talk about some of your gene keys. And the first one we're going to talk about, dun, 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 right? You talked about it earlier.
17.
Which is gate 17, which is 70% of your energetics in the gene keys, right? In gate 17 off of the Ajna. So again, it's an undefined center for you. And there's the reason why I love the gene keys and the way I think about them is the human design is the blueprint. And again, the decision-making mechanics, right? So that if we follow our strategy and authority, it will guide us into alignment to our life's purpose, to the right people, the right situations, et cetera, et cetera. So to my mind, because I'm a manifesting generator with, you know, the channel of charisma twice over. I want to get things faster, right? And so I'm always looking for a way to accelerate, to expedite. And so when I met the gene keys a little over a year ago, I realized, oh my gosh, this is the dial, right? So if we are energy and if our blueprint tells us what energies we have access to, right, on a predictable 24/7 sort of way, and where we don't have constant access and where our efforts might be thwarted because of our undefined centers or what have you. How can I navigate? And to me, the gene keys are a way to really look at the resonance within a particular gate of your design, you to self-diagnose, are you in shadow or are you in gift? Because the city, SIDDHI, is the enlightened state in the gene keys on that trajectory from shadow to city. That's really an arrival. We can contemplate that and what that feels like, but the way that we actually get there is through the gift. And in this case, for your gate 17, the shadow is opinion, again, carving up the world into smaller and smaller bits and forcing the world to see it through a tiny, tiny lens, versus the gift of farsightedness, which is, you said it already, surrendering, letting go of that certainty of this is the way that things are structured. Really, it's this is the way I see the structure of the world or this moment or this information right now. Because what will happen for you is this gate 17 can be very limiting if you're wanting to force your way of seeing the world onto others, which I don't get that impression from you at all. You might be creating that pressure for yourself, though. Again, it's that I need to know, I need to have the structure. Yep. And you can see how this works really hard with gate 61 in the head, which we talked about, is again, that just spontaneous knowing, right? So, and how these mm-hmm. can be in conflict. I need to know, I need to structure. And then there's this, the doubt of the 63 and the mystical, you know, spontaneous knowing of the 61 that can all be in a little bit of conflict. And then I want to talk about, and I'll pause after this, I want to talk about these other two elements, because to me, these are the three legs of the stool. These happen to be the three parts of the four sphere pearl sequence, which is all about prosperity. And that's a little bit of why you came today. Not that this is all about money or wealth, and again, in prosperity and the gene keys, it's larger than just money, right? It's about the wealth of the way that you move through life, right? Seeing wealth and opportunity all around you. But what I was seeing when I was just looking at your gene keys and where I thought there might be some, again, friction, or we can call it conflict, but healthy friction, it's in the shadows of, again, this gate 14, which is your vocation and your core wound. So it's serving two purposes in the gene keys golden path sequence. It's part of the pearl sequence. It's also part of the Venus sequence, which is about relationships. Yeah. And gate 14, which is in the sacral, is the gate of that core wound, which you're going to continue to keep bumping up against. You're here to master it in your life, and it's never going away. Again, it's one of these things you're going to keep running into, but also your vocation sphere. And the shadow here is compromise. And I think, again, your undefined ego or heart center and undefined solar plexus, which is, again, feeling this pressure to say yes, to please others, to all of this, is going to lead you down this shadow energy path of compromise, you know, not stating definitively what it is you need to be successful at what you want to do. And that's where the competence comes in, right? The gift of competence is being super clear about what it is you need, the conditions you need to be successful, and honoring them through your innocence motivation, right? Honoring them with delight. Then we've got gate 51, which we already talked about. And this is the another sphere of the pearl sequence. And this is part of the undefined heart that we talked about earlier. This is in human design terms, it's the initiation, right? It's this pressure to initiate things. And the shadow of this is this agitation, right? So again, this agitation of things are happening all around me or things are happening to me, and feeling very just at unease, in a state of unease that you have to do something. And instead of, and by the way, the programming partner for this is gate 57, which we talked about, is the gate that completes your split, which is, again, that's about the fear of the future. And you can only get to the future one calm decision at a time. And the shadow of that 57th gate is unease. So you've got agitation and unease working together to reinforce this feeling of, again, the opinion, this is the way it works. You know, this is my view of the world, instead of letting all of that go and just surrendering to the moment. Like for you, it's all about surrendering to the moment. And I don't know that I've met other designs that are so much like that, but it feels to me like, oh, it's surrendering to the moment. So that when someone comes up and says, you should really do flamenco, that doesn't go in one ear and out the other. It sort of, you know, it kind of stays in your brain, in your awareness. And then someone else comes in and says it. And now you're like, okay, wait, what's going on here? And then a third person, do you see what I'm saying? You just stay with the moment and you don't let the moment just disappear. You actually hold it. It's like you're holding each moment as you go. And it's almost like a pregnant moment for you. Every single moment has some promise in it instead of just this casual, fleeting nature. So anyway, so I'm going to pause there and just if anything came up for you in this whole sequence of things.
Just a million thoughts. Fascinating. It's so funny because like literally surrender is like the hardest assignment I could ever receive. Do you know what I mean? I see the value. I see in my own experiment where it's worked amazingly and how it's made me happy and successful and healthy and radiant. But it's like literally the hardest assignment anyone could give me. You know, like I can't pop a pill for that. I can't outsource that. Like, you know what I mean? I got to really dig deep and hold on. It's like I got to strap myself onto this amusement park ride. I don't even know where it's going. And I just got to go with it. So that is really fascinating. And then you've also brought to my awareness that all three of these gene keys are literally in my undefined centers. And that's just sort of mind-blowing to me too, because that's also like a part of the surrender. It's like, well, we don't know. You might have energy there. You might not. You want the tension, like you said. So this is just blowing my mind completely. I'm just like, I think we need more fireworks. Where's the fireworks when you want them to come out?
Well, and I think, again, I think this is, I think it's a reminder to be gentle with yourself. You do not have consistent access to the energy.
Another hard assignment.
Very much so. Very much so. You do not have consistent access to the energy of your ajna, which is that mental processing. You don't have it to the heart or ego, which is willpower, right? Willfulness. And you don't have it with the sacral, which is, again, that energy, that productivity. And this is why, like, when you think about it, now we can use the head for this, right? The rational side of our thought processes to say, wow, now if I know that, great. Why am I sitting in the shadow of opinion, forcing my views because it makes me feel better, right? And again, I'm not accusing you of that, but I'm just saying it as an, you know, as an example. Or why am I giving away my power and compromising and not standing firm in what I need to be successful? Or why am I so agitated right now because I want to be further along in my path, in my career, in my relationship, whatever it is. And why don't I just surrender now to the farsightedness, right? This is where you surrender to the gift. What would it be to be farsighted in this moment, right? To embrace all possible views. What would it mean to own, you know, the conditions that I need to be successful in this endeavor, right? What does competence look like for me, right? What does initiative look like for me that's not driven from fear or lack or wanting to please, right? And it's just flipping all of those equations and but it's always staying so deeply resonant with what are you feeling in your body? Because all of these are feelings that we have in our body. They're not mental, right? These are all feelings that we have in different parts of our bodies and we feel them in different ways, right? And it's you becoming aware of where do you feel that feeling of needing to force your opinions on yourself or others, right? Your opinion might be, I need to do it this way because that's what someone else is doing and it's working for them, right? Mm-hmm. Where do I feel the shadow of compromise? Where do I feel the shadow of agitation? And I'll give you a secret that I'm sharing with everyone else who's listening, a secret for how to get into gift frequency. I learned this recently. the way to get into gift energy is simply to contemplate and put yourself straight into the heart space. And one of the ways to get yourself into the heart space that's really pure is to think of something that makes you smile. But make sure that it's not something that's also bringing friction along. So even though you might be in love with your partner, you know, sometimes, you know, subconsciously you might be still irritated that they didn't, you know, wash the dishes. So what I've learned is through my guides is usually thinking of a baby animal. Like I have these squirrels that show up on my porch. It took them one experience of me giving them peanuts and they figured it out so fast. So now they come to my porch, but there's no condition or expectation. They just bring me pure joy. But when we're in the heart space, that is gift frequency. And that's also the frequency of manifestation and all of the things that we seek in this world start with that sense of feeling that self-love in the heart space, right? And that wonder and that innocence. I go back to your motivation, which is innocence. It's that, and for others are going to have different motivation, to be clear. But for yours, that's what you're going to feel there, right? That's when you know you're in the heart space.
Stacy, crazy that you mentioned little animals, because when I was thinking about when I was on that last summer on that like fork in the road, I was like, do I continue down this proven path of, you know, career corporate coaching that's safe and I can predict it maybe and it's marketable? Or do I go down this innocent, like I created a goddess academy, you know, I'm talking about human design. Literally one of the things one of my guides had me do was like a visualization that I'm like walking and there's a fork in the road. And what do I see for each option? The option that my brain created for when I imagined this option was literally me walking through the forest and all these little animals coming up to me. And I was like, of course I'm going to pick this option. I was like walking around and like the squirrel, the bunny, the bear, like, and it's so crazy that you brought up little animals and the heart and feeling in that manifestation and that centered gifts area. Cause that's literally what I felt when I was on my fork in the road of choosing my next path. It was little animals coming up to me. That's what my brain, you know, presented to me to reflect that option of leaning into spirituality, feminine energy, and all this beautiful kind of stuff that we're talking about today. How funny.
So beautiful. So beautiful. So beautiful.
Little animals.
I know, right? Like Snow White. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So beautiful. So I wanted to talk about a couple more of your gene keys, and mainly they're these next two, which are Gene Key 23. These were the ones, this set of five, that I thought were most compelling intuitively when I was looking at your chart, at your design. And we've already talked a lot about both of these. Well, I think we talked around them, but what, again,
you mentioned simplicity.
Yes.
And marketing and that.
Yes. And what's going to happen is, because you now know how your mind is going to want to overcomplicate things for you to make it valid, right? To make it corporate, to make it, I mean, you're beyond that now, but you're still, your mind's still going to keep coming up with this because it's just the way the mind works, right? And because you have undefined ego, you know, this is part of what the ego does is we have to be more. We're never enough, right? Let's overcomplicate things. And so gate 23, which is off the throat, is your, and you're aware of this. And you were even saying how, gosh, it's so funny. When I first started with my coaching, I started with my own stories. And I wound up, you know, departing from that and doing all these other things. And now I'm realizing, gosh, you know, why did I do that? Right. I was just led to do that. Well, you were led because of your mind and your ego. Well, your undefined head and your undefined heart/ego, not your ego, because I feel like you're so, I feel like you're really in touch and grounded with, you know, that part of you. And But you understand when I'm referring to ego, I'm referring to the ego center.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. This is it.
In the chart. Mm-hmm. But it was taking you to this shadow of complexity. Let us prove ourselves with more details. And I really have this sense about you and your business that you so don't need any of that. You have a very, very, very powerful personal presence, which goes now to your also to your profile lines, right? The 4-1. And again, where the one, which is, you know, this investigative inquiry, right? Which is needs to know all the details, go down all the rabbit holes. I'm also a 4-1. So I understand that. But the 4 is all about that intimate connection, right? It's all about that caring connection. It's all about that depth and that connection to the human experience. That's the simplicity part. I kind of lost my train of thought a little bit because I was trying to connect the complexity and simplicity to your profile lines.
It's like that feeling, it's not enough, we must do more. And I think you were talking about how I don't even have to lean that much into the marketing, where it is like a lot of it is me and the experience with me. And I have found in my business that when I create opportunities for people to really experience what it's like to work with me, be with me, you know, do work with me, explore with me, that is when people are most motivated to learn more or hire me. It really isn't when I'm like, I call it throwing spaghetti on a wall. When my brain goes into complexity, I will cook up all this spaghetti and pasta and I will throw M&Ms in there. We'll put maple syrup. We'll put beef in there. And then I'm like, I hope they like it. And then I'm splattering it on the wall. Hoping someone will pick up and go, yummy.
Totally.
When I could have just made a simple fried fish and been like, hey, it's just butter and salt.
Dude, that's exactly right. And I realize now the connection that I was making was, you're exactly right. It was about the simplicity of your stories are what's going to connect through your caring connection. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't need all of these details. It's going to be that one-on-one human connection or one-to-many human connection. But I also have a question for you around the 4-1 profile, the nature of that, because I'm wondering if this holds true for you. So fours, the way that opportunities show up for people with a 4 in their profile is it's through their network. It's through people they know. And I wonder if that holds up for you. I know for me, it holds up. For my business partner who is a 4-6, it holds up. For other 4s that I know in their profile, the best opportunities have often come through people they know, through introductions or what have you. How does that hold up for you?
I have literally done the math and it is 89%. No, I'm kidding. I didn't actually do the math, but like absolutely. It is absolutely through my network, through collaborations. I even found my husband because I was teaching his brother to play the piano and then his mom found me and introduced us. Thank God. But everything has come to me through my network. Even my corporate jobs, I can pinpoint the exact human being who you know, I mean, the interview process is one thing, but you know, as we know in the political corporate world, it's the connections and absolutely the best opportunities hands down has always been to an intimate connection.
I love that.
A one-on-one connection, 1,000%.
And this is a message for anyone with a 4 in their profile, because when I actually ran the numbers when I learned this and I was stunned. 100% of my opportunities for my narrative business came through people I knew. And so I remember last year, I actually went through and I shed a lot of connections on LinkedIn because I was really feeling like the connections that I had on LinkedIn were born from that performative era that I had been in, right? Where you have to be out there and you just have to be, you know, connecting with people, whether you really know them or have any remote connection with them at all, or even the remotest connection. If I didn't feel it in my heart, or I really felt like certain people were in my network, but they didn't fully get me, I actually cut ties in LinkedIn. Wow. And it felt very clearing and cleansing for me to go through and do that, because for fours, it's really about those deep bonds with people in your network. And for me, I don't need a large network. And I think sometimes people, yeah. I know last year when I recognized the 4-1 and I started to feel, I actually went through a mourning process of mourning, wow, I've been setting myself up to be connected with all the wrong people for me, right? There's nothing about them. They were just not the right people for me. And then I also felt super vulnerable. Like, oh my gosh, can I actually build a business? Can I be successful, you know, with the network that I have? And I realized that this is what I have to surrender to, right? That for me, what I surrender to is the feeling, and it's that projector nature, even though I'm not a projector, but being recognized and fully seen, mm-hmm. right? And that's what my 4 is for me and how it shows up in my life. And when I did the math, I realized, oh, I actually don't need all of these other connections because the ones I have who get me, you know, it's through them that they refer someone. It's like how you met your partner, right? That you're, mm-hmm. same thing. It's like it could be a friend of a friend of a friend, but it's still through that network of somebody who has vetted you, who gets you, who fully recognizes you. Yeah, it's very powerful. Mm-hmm.
I love that for all of us 4s. I absolutely love that for us. I love it for
I love that.
But also it's like what's so comforting is like we don't have to do anything more. That's the thing. It's exactly, if anything, we need to strip away, filter away. It's not about adding more. That's what I've learned, that it's not about me going out there because I'm a 4 and being like, I'm going to network all day long. It's actually calling a friend. It's checking in with a client. It's checking in with a past client. It's calling a mentor. It is, a lot of it is that one-on-one, and it is surrendering to that being more than enough. And I, Stacey, I have found I'm someone who really struggled with my female friendships my whole life. I've just always felt misunderstood and unappreciated. I was probably, you know, butting my way into relationships where people didn't want me, and then I was bitter and butthurt. But yes, but the more I lean into and study my human design and do the stuff and experiment, I feel so nourished now. It's actually like I never thought that me building a business and then finding human design and growing and doing the surrendering, blah, 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 I never thought an outcome would be so many deeply nourishing friendships. I never thought that would be an outcome, but I am so nourished now. It's like, I don't even know what my life is. To go from like a hyper independent, must do everything on my own, lone wolf kind of archetype, to literally feeling like I have the most nourishing pack is like an outcome I never expected, but is like one of the biggest gifts of doing this work for me.
That is,
it's delicious and yummy. And yeah.
So beautiful. Mm. Fried fish with a little butter and salt.
Yes.
I love it. Okay. Yum. So I wanted to just talk about one last little thing. And we are ending where we began, which is these two gates. Perfect. In the head, right? 61 and 63. 61, which is in your gene keys. And it's about, again, this psychosis, which I think is a really scary word. But it's, again, yes, being lost in thought as opposed to being ahead of it and being an inspiration and the gift of inspiration. It's letting your thoughts run away with you instead of you guiding them, right? And just following, again, your innocence, what is inspiring you today, right? But again, mm-hmm. the shadow of doubt and the gift of inquiry of gate 63 in the head, you can see how these shadows all reinforce each other, right? Like the complexity of the 23, the shadow of complexity in gate 23, you know, playing with the shadow of doubt. Oh, we have to do more. We have to be more. We have to make it, you know, it's just when really, if you just sit in the gift of inspiration and inquiry and trust in the simplicity of where you're being guided on how to, on what's the next step, right? surrendering to that, surrendering to the moment, that trusting your strategy and authority, that you will wind up with the right people, with the right conditions, doing work that matters, living your purpose, and making a difference while you're here, right? Which is what we all want. Yeah.
Stacey, I found that this conversation so helpful, but also like, I feel like if you had been like, okay, Anna, well, you're 17, so you're meant to do this, go be farsighted. I would have been like, okay, but you have actually given me something way better, even though I didn't ask for that specifically, but you have given me the trust and these tools to lean into so that I can surrender, and also a lot more compassion for why I get stuck in those places of tension. Yes. So it's like, even though I thought I wanted you to be like, yes, Anna, this is your path, now move forward, soldier. What I actually got was, and when I take notes afterwards, you know what I mean? That's sort of how my brain works. I like to take notes, reflect, take notes, and then and see what does that mean for me on a daily basis. So like you had said, like, what am I inspired by today? That's like a really big thing. So as opposed to being like, okay, well, let's go be a 17. It's like, don't make it complicated. Don't get into psychosis. There's doubt. That's okay. That's doubt. That's going to always be there, Anna. So it's like that help to surrender, and move forward and do it one day at a time. And I actually love that, because I've been really reflecting on my purpose, not being a destination, but being something I do every day. And so you've given me today like a really fresh, powerful perspective and strategy to do the purpose, bring myself back to the purpose on a daily basis, and then like the eventual outcome, destination, like that's nice, but it's about the present moment today. And you also use the word one decision at a time. So that's what you've gifted me today. And I'm so blessed, grateful, delighted, and excited as well to see my work in this new enlightened way. So I'm just so grateful.
That is so beautiful. And I love that. Like, it was no accident that you said yes to this for me. And where I am in my journey is recognizing that when people show up, and again, recognizing the opportunity and the invitation that you accepted, it was correct. It was correct for you. It was correct for me. It was correct for us. And I am gifted just as much as you are, just by your presence and by being so open. And to me, these breakthrough sessions, I realized that this is what I felt was really missing in the world in terms of understanding the power of human design to be so transformative in a life, that it's very daunting if you allow it to be complex and daunting, or it can be very simple if you just kind of enter it one decision at a time, right? And learn some of the basics. And so to bring it to life, because I think it's one of the most pragmatic tools for self-empowerment and self-love, which I feel is the path to everything else that we want in our lives. If we don't have that self-love, we'll never feel empowered. And when we don't feel empowered, we don't feel self-love, right? We feel like a victim. And to me, this, your sharing of your story so openly and sharing your situation so openly is a gift to everyone who's listening. And so I thank you for that, because you're making it so real in a way that I feel will inspire others to take the plunge, because it's a really fun ride, right? It's a really fun ride.
The best ride. I love it.
Okay, so thank you so much. I look forward to staying in touch, and you'll have to come back in 6 months and let us know what's going on. Okay?
Yes, thank you so much, Stacey.
Bye. Thank you for listening. If you found this episode insightful or inspiring, please share it with the people in your life who might benefit. people like you who are learning about or living their human design and gene keys to become their best, most authentic self. Remember, there is nobody else like you. There never has been, and there never will be. You came into this world for a reason and a purpose that only you can fulfill, and your human design is the first step to remembering. For more information, head on over to beauthentic.co.